Hello and welcome to Between the Lines. I'm Sean and Bessie, and I'm here today with Tracy Hunter Abramson, Sarah M. Eden, Esther Hatch, and our special guest, Christina Marcano. Welcome, Chris. We're so happy to have you with us.
Happy to be here.
Well, Christina's name may not be familiar to many of our listeners, but she is one of the most important people in the writing lives of many authors. Chris is the marketing senior graphic designer at Covenant Communications. And although we know her as the person in charge of making all of our books look beautiful, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her. Chris is from Utah and she's lived there her entire life. She is a mother of two happy and easygoing kids, and her little ones often steal the spotlight during her Zoom calls, so watch for them. She is an experienced graphic designer and also manages the graphics team at Covenant. She's been working for Covenant for almost 18 years and loves almost all aspects of design work, from creating book covers to home decor. Whatever the project, it makes her excited to see the final results. And when Chris is not immersed in her graphic design project, she's usually found catching a plane with her husband, as they both love to travel. So I'd like to begin this conversation with Chris by saying that I think I can speak for Sarah, Tracy, and Esther when I say that authors in general receive hundreds of questions about their covers. We've also received multiple requests for our podcast to discuss covers. And we just thought that rather than talking about the covers from our perspective, it would be way better to bring Chris in, who sees the whole spectrum from its right from inception to the final product. And we're going to pepper her with questions to find out more about how that all works. So I'm going to start with a loaded question. Can you tell us, Chris, just talk us through the creative process? When you're first asked to create a cover for a new book, maybe how many covers you produce in order to find the one that you think works best. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, sure. First of all, we begin by reading and understanding what the book is about, figuring out the plot, and then also knowing what the target audience is. This helps us to comprehend the essence of the story and the visual elements. At Covenant, we have an author form, which is like vital to every graphic designer there. It's the first place that I go look, and I usually check out the character description and make notes of hair color, ethnicity, age, time period, objects, location. All of those things are just so important as I get started. It's kind of the the beginning of the snowball as it goes down the hill, right? Is learning what exactly it is that the author might be looking for and what you might be looking for as far as, because we use mostly stock imagery. So then that begins our search after we know those key elements. But we also follow design trends. What's in the market already? And also what is new. If I haven't done a suspense cover for a while, I'll go look up a whole bunch of suspense books and write down, what am I seeing? Am I seeing bright colors, moody colors? What's out there and what's going to pop when it's on the shelf? So all of that is kind of the beginning of getting going on your design. And then once we kind of got that figured out, we start to research and look for ideas and develop multiple concepts for the cover. They incorporate visual elements and represent essential key items from the story. We look at color and also try to do a lot of various type options so that we're not just recreating, here's an image with type on it, that it actually looks like it belongs to that image is kind of our goal there. And it belongs to that genre. You wouldn't want a really happy, bubbly script font on a suspense book, or you wouldn't want this creepy looking font on a romance book. Seems obvious, right?
And yet,
it is vital to actually do your research, especially if you're doing like historical romance versus kind of contemporary romance. It has a very different look as far as type goes. And so all of those things we want to research, what's new, what's been used a zillion times, and not go that route, right? So then we're to the design point and we start putting images and type together. Usually, I say the best way to start is just get started. If you found an image that's striking, matches the character description, let's try it. Let's see if it works. Sometimes if you don't try it and you love the image and you're like, but the crop is a little weird, or she's doing something funny with her hand, you can't get it out of your head until you just try it. And so sometimes you got to get the ugly out to get the good in. And
that right there is advice for every creative like pursuit. You got to get the ugly out. I love that.
Yeah. And sometimes if you don't, I feel like it's just rattling around in your brain. Yeah. Like that one image that I wanted to try and I never did. So, get the ugly out, get something on the page. And then we just work through it, refine our composition, try different fonts, make sure the typography is matching. Is there something more unique you could do? You don't just want to have an image with boring types left on there. You want it to be interesting, unique. The color needs to look right. So with that, you do anywhere from 6 to 10 comps. Some of those might repeat a lot of stuff, same images, and you might try several typefaces on it. Usually you know right away if it's going to work or not with the typeface, but you might have to tweak it. Does it work on an angle better? Does it need something extra with it? Does it need an icon? Those kinds of things. So you might have a few comps. You might have 13 or 14 that are kind of a slush pile that you're just kind of playing around with that you wouldn't really ever put up for a critique or anything. So once we have about 6 to 8 that are working pretty well, that's when we do a critique with our peers and coworkers. So we get together. You have to get used to negative feedback. And I always say sometimes negative feedback is the best feedback because it really helps you improve. If everyone just says it looks great, then you don't know how to improve it and make it even better. And so you get used to hearing that feedback, and it's not personal. That's one thing I tell everyone as they're learning the design process, like, don't take it personal. It's just to make it better. And it truly does help. And it doesn't matter if you've designed book covers or anything else for 3 years or 20 years, everyone needs a good critique. So it helps refine the design and it helps make necessary adjustments. And then finally, after all of that, basically that takes about, I would say, 12-ish hours to do all of that process. And then after the critique, we have a second critique, and it's with the committee at, I work at Covenant, like we said. And so they have a cover committee, which will review book covers. And they basically decide the cover right then and there at that point. And if they aren't liking what they see, they'll give us revisions and we go back to, fixing those things, and we'll meet again. So it's a fun process, and I feel like it's always a unique thing with every book. Even if it has multiple in the series, you still have to get that different, unique look each time. And that's why I love it. It's a challenge every time.
Every time. Mm-hmm.
It makes it fun.
It's so
well, and sorry. Go ahead. I was just going to say, I just think it's so interesting that you talked about how important the type is, you know, the fonts that you use, because most people, when they think of covers, they literally just think of the image on the front mm-hmm. of the book. And yet, you're right, the font is so important.
I think we've probably all seen covers where you liked the image, but something about the wording or the font looks strange. We aren't designers, so we don't know what, but it does jump out at you if it's wrong. So yeah, right. We don't often realize how important that is.
Yeah, and then when she says something like, yeah, you can't put a scary, creepy font on a romance, it's like, well, of course. But like, there's so many things about design that if you haven't studied it or don't have an eye for it, which is me, I think I've told this story before, but I once spent a month picking out, maybe 2 months, picking out a paint color for my basement. And I wanted this dusty blue. I was like so excited about it. And we painted, it was just one room, thank goodness. Painted the whole room. I came downstairs and Chris is probably laughing because she probably knows what happened, but it was Barney purple. Like I have things in my head. And until I can like look at them and see them, I am kind of clueless. Like people ask like, what do I want? And I'm like, well, you show it to me and I'll tell you if that's what I want or not. Because my mind's eye.
Probably a designer's nightmare.
Yeah.
I'll tell you if it's right.
Yeah, exactly. So when I hear you talking about like the author pages that are our author, what's it called?
Forms.
Our author forms.
Yeah,
where we say what we want with our books. I think it's been interesting for me to see how I've evolved over the years of publishing, where at first I think I would be very specific and I would say things mm-hmm. like, oh, you know what, I think I put this on one of my books. I would love to have an image of her standing on a stack of books and a fireplace in the background. And, you know, like, and I would put these specific things that it was from a scene or something. And I would just be like, mm-hmm. that would be amazing if you could just pull off these 16 things, put them all on the cover. and that's exactly what I want. And I think I was a more specific in those ways when I first started. And now I do what you said, which is like the eye color, the hair color, maybe some imagery from the book, like some mm-hmm. symbolism, something like that. Maybe tell you the season. And then at the end, I think I've always made this comment is I just want it to be beautiful. And I trust you guys to just take, like, if it doesn't have any of these images, but you find the most gorgeous cover of all time and it matches the theme and the vibe of the book, like that's the cover that I want, because right. I've learned that like, I don't always picture things the best that I could. So as a designer, like, how do you feel about that? Would you rather have total free reign? Would you rather have, or do you like it when authors are like, there's this scene in this book and this is exactly the things that happen, and I would love it if you could recreate that. Like what works best for the designers when they get those forms from the authors?
Yeah, that's the trickiest part, right? Is to get it enough information without being over detailed, right? 20 things that you have to have on the cover is a lot. But three is really manageable, right? Because we're not going out to, if you want a beautiful forest with, you know, a person there, whatever, we're not going out to the wilderness and taking these pictures. We're finding stock imagery that, and we can merge lots of pictures together to create things. But it's exactly like you said, it's the simplicity of it that makes the most beautiful covers, in my opinion. And so I think letting the designer have a little bit of freedom and not just putting them in a box, like has to be this exact thing or I don't like it. That's the hardest part, is when that happens, because we're limited with resources. While there's millions of pictures that are stunning stock photos that could be beautiful covers, if you kind of are in this tunnel vision of I have to have this exact image, it's going to be really hard to create. So I think it's good for the author to be open and let the designer use their background, their education, and let that design creativity really flow. We're not only like trained with schooling and things, but like this is what we do all the time. And so, you know, a lot of times if you give us a little bit of freedom, it allows for us to really get excited, really dig in deep and find that really awesome, beautiful cover that they're looking for.
And you have made some gorgeous covers for me over the years, because Chris has been there for 18 years. I'm just hitting my 20th anniversary. So you have been designing a lot of my covers for a lot of years, including, well, we were just saying, we think this was your first one for me, which was Obsession.
Oh, yeah.
But like those of you who are fans of the Falcon Point series, like you've done Danger with Diamonds, the one that we haven't announced yet that Sean and I have coming that is gorgeous. So we're really excited about. But I have my question for you is, what is the most labor intensive part of the process? Like, what is the part that you have to like really get in the mood? Like, okay, I've got to just buckle down and get this work done.
Yeah. So I think it's the searching of photography that is the most mm-hmm. labor intensive when it comes to a fiction cover. Obviously, if it's a book that has interior design in it, then that interior work takes a lot of time. But when it's a fiction cover, it's finding those photos and manipulating them in the way that you want to use them. Do you have to add a scarf? Do you need to take off jewelry or remove makeup or those kinds of things to get the photo looking exactly how you want it to look? And sometimes we have to work with low res imagery at first. And that can be also tricky to make it look, you like have to say, trust me, it will look better when it's the high res imagery. But, you know, that part is, and then you have to redo that, right? So once you get the high res imagery, you have to redo that. So that's the most labor intensive part.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was possible. I didn't know you could do low to high res.
I have learned that Chris and her team can literally do anything. They are just amazing.
Absolutely. I had a cover where we found an image that was just like, it was gorgeous. It was perfect. It was the right era. It was the right look. But the model was someone who's been on another one of my covers, and she was very recognizable. So we knew we couldn't reuse it, but everything else about it was perfect. And the designer on Chris's team changed the head for someone else's head. And
I've had a new head too.
What kind of magic is this? Like, I still think about it and I'm blown away. So yeah, the things that mm-hmm. really great designers can pull off are just mind blowing. It's amazing. I couldn't do it if I had a million years to learn. So I'm grateful. Same. There are people with that skill set. Okay, before we let you go, I have a question for you. This is, I think, one of my favorite questions to ask people in creative fields. What is your favorite thing about being a designer? Like, I know it's hard to pick out one, but what is something you love about what you do?
Yeah, I love the variety that we get to do. We don't just do book covers where I work. Well, that's the majority. We do a lot of different projects. And I love seeing like nothing all of a sudden become this whole series of books. And having, you know, coming up with a few ideas and then seeing how that transitions through all the different titles that we have and all the different elements that we have to use. I love it when a series, when the final thing, you see all the books together, they coordinate, they match. And that's one of my favorite things, is to see when a series comes from book one all the way through whatever number of book and they look good together. That's like a huge win for me. And I love seeing that play out.
I love it.
Oh, I love that too. And if you want to see an example of that, that is ongoing, then check out the Heirs of Falcon Point series, because yes. The team has done an amazing job. We've got the Heirs of Falcon Point, which was the anchor book, and the historicals that A.L. Sowards is doing has the same feel, the same font, but completely different. And then the ones that Tracy and I are writing, again, you can just tell they all go together, but they're each unique. Just it's like you work magic. Mm-hmm. So for those of us who are on the front end, we just want to thank you for being the unsung hero. You are the unsung hero in the publishing industry. So few people know who you are, and yet we just couldn't function without you. So thank you. And thank you, too, for giving us a glimpse into your work behind the scenes. And for those of you who are joining us, leave us a message on YouTube or our social media sites. Is there a style of cover that you just love, that draws you in? Is there a specific one that just you can't get out of your head because it just calls to you and is so beautiful? Tell us what kind of covers you like best, and we'll pass your feedback on to Chris, because, you know, you are the people we are trying to please. So we hope that you'll join us again on our next episode of Between the Lines.